Because it seems to me there's like a distinction between almost like predictive prophecy and a prophecy about the future, as opposed to the prophecy you described this. Would you say that the predictive prophecy or the Agabus, for example, that fits into the kind of categories you, or how does it fit, if anything?
Okay, so let me try and summarize your question. How does the element of prediction, the predictive prophecy, fit into the purpose of prophecy as it's put here? Well, it's not mentioned, is it? Let me just say that. None of what's mentioned here when Paul speaks to the Corinthians has anything to do with predictive prophecy. He says he speaks to people for their upbuilding, exhortation, and comfort. Now, what you do see in the Bible, not here, but throughout the Bible, is that prophets, as a, I guess, a subcategory of what they did, often predicted the future. In Deuteronomy, you'll see in chapter 13 and chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 13, other places throughout the Old Testament, that element of prediction is considered as a sign. Now, one of the functions of that sign was to accredit the prophet. When I say a sign, I'm not talking about what it says here as a sign to believers, but one of the functions of that sign, not using that word, was to kind of put a stamp of authenticity upon the prophet. If the prophet got it wrong, he ain't no prophet. If he made a mistake, one mistake, Deuteronomy would, the old covenant, execute him. And that would make you a little bit nervous about standing up in the old covenant times and saying, I think I'm going to prophesy. But when God had clearly spoken to you, and you knew it was God speaking, and it wasn't your own imagination, read Ezekiel chapter 13 to see what God thinks about people who speak out of their own imagination and say God has said, you'd want to know, this is not my imagination. I'm not imagining this. I'm not ill. I'm not just hearing voices. Because that happens to people. Tumors can grow and you can hear voices. You can even see stuff. But you'd want to know that this was really God. But if it was God speaking to you and you spoke up and you made a prediction, you're convinced this is God, and that prediction came true, in everybody's eyes, you were established as a prophet. Then you had the credibility to be able to say, this is what God says. And God had to establish his prophets through various kinds of signs like that. Prediction, predictive prophecy was one of them. Great miracles, feats, wonders were other categories that God used to establish his prophets. I don't believe that changed one bit when you come to the New Testament. You've got Agabus, for instance, in Acts. You find him predicting a famine on the basis of his prediction of a famine. The people were encouraged. And this is Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Verse 28, one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. So that's like me standing up and saying there's going to be a famine. The church in Ethiopia is going to be really hard hit. We need to start collecting money because next year there's going to be a famine in Ethiopia. And we need to send aid ahead so that they have money in advance to get through this. That's exactly what happened. Agabus was accredited. And when you come to Acts chapter 21, he's able to stand up and says, thus says the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit says. So the predictive prophecy accredited him in the eyes of everyone. He was a prophet. We've only got one record of his predictive prophecy in Acts chapter 11, in Acts chapter 21. He he predicts the way in which Paul is going to be arrested. Interestingly, that's the account that our friends in the conservative charismatic fringe who believe in fallible prophecy, that's the very account they turn to say he got it wrong. But when you examine the details, there's nothing about Agabus's prophecy that is actually incorrect in detail. You can read much about that. But the prophecy checks out. When Paul speaks later in Acts about his arrest, people try to point out that he got some details wrong, but when Paul tells his testimony later, he shows them how it uses the terms which shows that Agabus got it just right. So, long story short, seeing as we're just 5 minutes, predictive prophecy, I believe, still held that accrediting role. Good question, though. Another question, and then we must finish. Reese.
Many years ago, I had a prophet speak to me, and you said earlier that there's a flattering greed.
Yes.
But what they would often, it sounds like they're encouraging you. So along the lines of what the prophet said is, oh, you're a soldier of Christ, and God is telling me, how do we distinguish between what is, well, you said today already, but flattery,
right,
and real encouragement?
Well, first of all, for someone to be able to speak into your life like that as a prophet, you would need to know that they were speaking from God to you. For that to be the case, they would have to be accredited as a prophet by something genuine. They would have to get it right all the time. Was that true of the prophets who spoke into your life? So, what I'm saying is they were false prophets. So they may have prophesied, you're going to be a great soldier of Christ. That may have done terrible things for your ego. You need to crucify your pride, along with all the other lusts of the flesh, and stick to the word of God. And let me say this. Prophets like that do all sorts of harm to God's people in all sorts of ways, because they dare to say God says when God hasn't said. If God was saying, they would get it right all the time. That's the test of a true prophet. And there's only one kind of prophecy. There's no new prophecy. It has to be true prophecy. Otherwise, it's false prophecy. And if it's false prophecy, they're false prophets. In the New Testament, we don't stone them or execute them. So don't get any ideas. But we don't accept them. We don't accept them. John warned his hearers not to believe every spirit. And he warned them about many false prophets having gone out. And he told people not to receive those who came like that. So we don't accept them. All right. Well, good questions. We're done time-wise.